So I want to continue just the series of talks I've been giving on working with paradox, on integrating opposites. And I want to talk today about the strength of vulnerability. And these seem like real opposites, but they're not. We tend to associate vulnerability with weakness. But actually, sort of the opposite. If we avoid our vulnerability, we weaken ourselves by avoiding it, because it estranges us from ourselves. And with meditation practice, we actually go stronger by opening to all that in us which feels shaky, vulnerable, dark. Opening to tender places in our hearts reveal these treasures, really, of energy and love and strength. And getting real is the ultimate strength, and that's what our practice is all about, being in touch with things exactly as they are, the good, the bad, the ugly. And getting real means, you know, in part, opening to our vulnerability. And we're vulnerable on so many levels. I mean, we tend to think of vulnerability as emotional vulnerability. I might feel shame or anxiety or hurt feelings. You know, we typically think of it that way. And we're more vulnerable than that. Our bodies are vulnerable to aging, to getting sick, to dying. We're vulnerable to just the world, you know. The forest fires, you know, are increasing due to climate change, and we're all experiencing that here on the Front Range, just, you know, two very smoky summers. We're just vulnerable to the interdependence of the world. With COVID, a bat sneezed in Wuhan, you know, almost 2 years ago. And, you know, look at what we've been dealing with ever since. So we're very vulnerable to just the world, the whole world. And the Buddha codified our vulnerability in the what are called the eight vicissitudes, that our life is filled with pleasure and pain, gain and loss, praise and blame, fame and ill repute. So we're vulnerable. And opening to this strengthens us because it aligns us with reality. And Buddhism is very optimistic. Buddhism believes that reality, as hard as it can be, is benevolent. If you're conscious, and the universe wants you to be conscious, even when you're not conscious, the universe will wake you up. I remember once when my wife and I were moving from Vermont to Colorado. We were up till like 3 a.m. packing. And I walked out into the living room with a box in my hands, and I kicked something kicked something that was pretty hard. And I looked down, and there was a headless statue of a Buddha. And I had kicked off the head of the Buddha and the Buddha was on the floor, and I had kicked off the head. So it was becoming, instead of a symbol of mindfulness, it was a symbol very instantly of mindlessness. A headless Buddha is not a good symbol. So, you know, the universe was trying to wake me up out of my stupor. So when we align with reality, truly align with reality, says the Buddhist tradition, we get happy, we get peaceful, we get loving and, you know, empathic. So aligning with reality is our ultimate superpower. It's our strength. And yet typically we want to avoid our vulnerability. But, you know, avoiding anything ultimately backfires. As the joke goes, denial isn't just a river in Egypt. You know, we have lots of avoidance, lots of ways we defend. We project out, you know, our inner experience and assign it to others. And the most obvious way we do that is, do you ever notice you can be very, very judgmental of people who do things to you that hurt your feelings or somehow cause difficulty for you? And instead of being willing to sit with our own experience, we project out, you know, what jerks they are, you know, just they're so this, they're so that. And, you know, we're really defending against our own experience by doing that. That's one way we defend, is we project, we put our inner experience onto others. Another way we defend is just to be in big stories all the time. We all know it. We're very good at this, making huge stories about tiny things. You know, there's catastrophes all through our lives. And like, it's just really like, oh no, did I put out the recycling? You know, but that turns into a catastrophe. There's a cartoon with a man and a woman at the woman's doorstep, and she's saying to the man, they'd obviously just been on like their first date, and she's saying to the man, I'd love to invite you in, Howard, but I'm going to need some time to digest everything you told me about the Ottoman Empire. We know that, right? We go into big stories and we spend a lot of time in our heads. And sure, history is great. History is fascinating. And we use it to avoid and defend. We have so many strategies. You know, we rationalize our behaviors as a way to avoid, you know, our vulnerability. We dissociate. We act out instead of dealing with our interior. We can be passive aggressive. There's so many ways we avoid our vulnerability. So the defense strategies are very complicated, but the solution is very simple. The solution is just be aware. Be with your experience just as it is. And our practice, this practice of mindfulness and metta, both, are the practice of the undefended heart. Because what we do is we just sit here feeling our breath or, you know, paying attention to our metta phrases. And, you know, we're letting go of all those defensive strategies. And then we just have this very free, undefended relationship with our heart and mind. Every moment of our practice is like that. And so we will naturally stumble into our vulnerability as part of our practice. But it's really good news, because we just need to be with it just as it is, without all the big stories. We keep it very simple. When my mom died 3.5 years ago, I was so pleased, really, to see my practice in operation, because it was so sad. It was just sad, period. It was just sad. And, but what I saw is that it wasn't anything I was trying to do. It was just practice working through me. It was like, okay, when you're sad, just be sad. It's not complicated. It's simple, but we want to avoid it. And that's when things get complicated. Just be sad when you're sad. I didn't mind being sad at all, because I wasn't in some resistance to it. It was just sad. So, you know, our vulnerability and our, as well as our defenses against our vulnerability, are really just calls for love. It's really just, usually when there's vulnerability or some defense against it, usually the remedy is, it's just something in you needs to be loved. We need to shine our little love light where it hasn't been shined before. But this takes courage. And I love the way that Shambhala tradition holds warriorship. And warriorship really is the bravery to face the joys and sorrows of life. with equal openness. And it means the bravery to face our vulnerability. If being macho or macha is doing the brave thing, then opening to that which is vulnerable in us, weak in us, dark in us, it's very macho. You know, I as a male with traditional male conditioning, it's very brave of me to open to my fear or my shame or my hurt. It's very macho to do the brave thing. Trungpa Rinpoche, the founder of Naropa, wrote, "The ground of fearlessness is to develop renunciation." Renunciation here means overcoming that hard, tough, aggressive mentality, which wards off gentleness. When tenderness, tinged by sadness, touches our heart, we know that we're in contact with reality. We feel it. That contact is genuine, fresh, and quite raw. This sensitivity is the basic experience of warriorship. Warriorship is so tender, without skin, without tissue, naked and raw. It is soft and gentle. You have renounced putting on a new suit of armor. You've renounced growing a thick, hard skin. So we could call warriorship. We could just say it very simply. Dare to be yourself. It's brave to be yourself with all the beauty and all the warts. This can be hard. It's brave because we can be embarrassed to be ourselves. You know, we have trouble with others, and often our trouble with others is on some level, we've been hurt in some way. It's so hard to open to our hurt feelings. And partly this is because the degree to which someone hurts you is the degree to which you agree with them. You know, when we're hard on ourselves, we have the wounds, and then they're already in us, and then somebody else kind of, you know, rubs them. But the wound is ours, you know. For many of us, we kind of come pre-disapproved. And so the answer here is not more like, you know, judgment against our vulnerability and, oh, I shouldn't be hurt and I'm a grown adult and how many times am I going to end up feeling like a little child? And we get so judgmental. No, that's not the way to strength. The way to strength is to just love that part of you in that moment, the way a parent loves a child. And, you know, we don't get it. We're so kind of scared of our shadow side. We don't get that there's so much energy and love and strength inside our vulnerability. You know, being undefended is like becoming childlike again. And children are bound with wonder and energy and vitality and curiosity, right? Children are in love with the world. And so are we in our vulnerable places, if we're willing to just sit with it. So the poet Rilke said, our deepest fears are like dragons guarding our deepest treasure. And we don't have to be all highfalutin about it. It's just very simple. Be willing to be with yourself just as you are. Dare to be yourself. And sit with what comes up with kindness, like that's our path. And so for maybe practice suggestion for the day, I would say just dare to not judge yourself in any way, but instead connect with curiosity to whatever you're feeling today. Curiosity and kindness, and see what happens. Just remember, all those defenses weaken you. Opening to what's here and what sometimes is vulnerable strengthens you.